The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why do so many Christians stop attending church? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are taking questions from listeners like you. If you've got questions, you can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. By the way, before we move on, I'd like to remind you also about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up very soon. You can learn about that by going to faithalone.org, and you can click on the little button that says events. You can even register right there on the site. We would love to have you there. It's a great time of learning and fellowship every year. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hi, everyone.
Good
Hi,
to be
Sean.
Back.
Hey, good to be here with you.
By everyone, I didn't mean you, but,
yeah, no,
but I guess it includes you. Okay. All includes all, right?
You. I'm doing a marathon this Sunday, Lord willing. We'll
you
see
are.
If
you
the
are.
Temperature rises.
That's
going to
be
cold.
Are you just going to slide?
This frigid air is going across the country. I saw Napa, California has snow. Napa, California.
Napa.
And all across the country.
Oh, that's
cold
where the
weather.
Grapes. Is that where the grapes
yeah.
are? Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to go visit there. Does anyone want to help invite us to do a regional in, what is it called, Napa Valley?
Napa Valley.
I'd like
yeah.
to see it. Yeah, if anyone wants to invite us to do a regional in the Napa Valley, that'd be great. We need to do...
Or Honolulu.
Honolulu, that's another
we're,
one.
We're open, I mean...
Definitely. Are you open? I'm open.
I probably wouldn't go.
You'd probably resist. But here, this is the key. We usually do, I don't know, at least two regionals a year. We do the national conference every year. Everyone is invited to come to that. It's in May.
May 23 to 26, Denton, Texas.
Yeah, so we always have it nearby. We always have it in the Dallas area, and Denton is actually where our offices are located. But then we do regional conferences, and here's the secret to regional conferences.
What is it?
A pastor or a church just needs to be excited about it and invite us there. So it's not enough for like a lone person to just say, hey, why don't you do a regional in our town? It really takes a lot of effort.
They have a really big house.
Well, even if they have a really big house. Okay, if he had a really big house and a lot of friends who would come, then yeah. That works. But the key for us is to have a local church on the ground who's excited for us to come and who would potentially encourage their people to come, so at least we get to make it worthwhile. So if someone's like that in the Napa Valley or Honolulu or wherever, invite us, and we'd love to. I'd like to go back to the West Coast. We haven't been there in a long time.
St. John is very nice.
What's that?
It's one of the islands in the Virgin Islands.
Oh, so not
that's
at all the
American
West Coast.
Virgin
yeah,
Islands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the Caribbean, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The East Coast is nice. Oh, the whole country.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's get to some questions. Here's a question from Dalia. Sean started a blog series about the New Testament's One Another commands. I was wondering, how can I access that series? He said he was going to explore all the biblical references noted. So here's a point about our website. When you go to faithalone.org and you use the search bar, if you were to put in, let's say, One Another commands, it's going to pull up everything in our website that has those words. But then here's the really neat thing that I want Dalia and other people to know about. You can then filter those results according to different things. If you're
you showed me this, and that's helpful.
I showed you that. So you're the director, and you didn't know this.
Because there's a whole bunch of things underneath. Like, for example, if you want to know if there is, let's say, audio, you
yeah.
click on audio.
So you can click on audio, and it's going to filter all the results just giving you audio. If you just want to see blogs, which is what these One Another commands were, they were blogs that I did, you can click on blogs, and it'll filter all the results just for that.
And or even video, too.
There's video. There's journal articles. There's magazine articles. So it has great search capabilities now, if you know how to use it. And not everyone does, you know. For example, the director of the organization didn't know. But having said that, Dalia, I am planning on making that into a short book. And maybe it'll be available by the summer. I think it will be, but we'll see. But then your question is, those blogs were about all of the commands. Technically, there's 58 commands, I think. One Another commands in the New Testament. But a lot of those are kind of repeats. Like, a lot of those are like, love one another.
Right.
Okay, so I don't really consider those as, you know, like 12 separate commands. Although there's variations. And it really highlights the importance of the church for the Christian life.
Right.
Right? Because you cannot be a disciple. You cannot be a someone who's growing spiritually and ignore those 58 one another commands, which are specifically about how you relate to other people in the body of Christ.
Right.
Right? You'd think that's really important. So the question is, why is it that so many Christians have decided not to attend church? Like, given all of those commands, given everything that the New Testament says about how important it is not only to attend church, I mean, that's important, but to actually kind of love and interact with other people in the church. Why do you think, why do so many people just kind of give up on going to church?
Well, that's a tough question. It's not like I can turn to a verse in the Bible that answers this question. So it's more a matter of speculation. But from what I hear in talking with people who have stopped going to church, but yet who still believe, often do so because they can't find a church that is clearly teaching the Bible, a church that's a loving church, a caring church, a solid Bible-teaching church, etc. And so they kind of give up and they will watch sermons, etc. But then there are people who simply stop going to church because they stop believing.
Yeah.
Or they never believed in the first place. But it would seem to me for a lot of people, part of the reason is they don't have a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
And so as a result, they don't understand that all these one another commands are for their good.
Well, I think a lot of people just don't realize the importance of the body of Christ to Christian discipleship.
Right, but within that, they don't understand how valuable the local church is to their family, to themselves, and to their eternal rewards, to their well-being now and to their well-being forever. I mean, it seems to me the local church should be the place where we're getting ongoing spiritual education.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike public education that stops at grade 12 or grade 16 if you get a bachelor's degree, or this education should never stop.
Right.
We should always be getting instructed in the Word of God so that we are constantly having our minds renewed and so that we retain what Paul calls the mind of Christ.
But it's also more than just passively receiving instruction. It's actually being part of a community where you can use your gifts and live out all of these commands among each other.
That's a good point.
You're receiving and you're giving.
In fact, who was I talking to? I guess it was Mike Lee, and he was saying something about the fact that a friend of ours has suggested that when you go to church, you should be going to a church where you can serve, where you can minister. You're not only looking for a place to be taught, but you're looking for a place that gives you an opportunity to help others.
Well, you know, let's say your example right now. I mean, you're kind of in between churches right now, but you're looking for a place to serve. And if you go to a church, don't you find that they have no use for you? You kind of feel like, well, why am I coming here if they have no use for me, if I can't serve here? But when you can serve, we were talking to our friend Mike, and he was saying he's looking for a place. He doesn't want to just be a spectator. He wants to actually use his gifts somewhere.
Right. It's a bit different for my situation because I'm able to teach and I'm able to help by preaching and teaching and that sort of thing. And not everybody has the gift of teaching and not everybody has extensive training.
Yeah.
And so most people can help with Sunday school, you know, even if they're not the teacher, they can help with the kids or help with the adults. But on top of that, there's also all of these other ways in which we can help. We can be the greeter at the door.
Sure.
We can be a person who's helping others, you know, that are there and they're able to help those in the congregation. But even if you don't have a formal task in the church, you can be a person that's praying for everyone. That's one of the one another commands, right?
Yeah, you don't need a title. You don't need to have a certificate of ordination or whatever.
Right.
To visit people in the hospital, to write
letters, thing.
You know, to call people up who are shut-ins or who haven't been in church for a long time.
Or to visit visitors.
Bring food to people.
You see a person in church that's a new person. You go up, you greet them, you talk to them, you make them feel comfortable. That's important.
You invite them. You make sure that they get invited to lunch or something after church. I was visiting a Mennonite church in Grays Prairie, And their policy was, this was years ago before kids, and their policy was someone in the church every week would take whatever visitors might come, they were going to host them for lunch at their home afterwards. You don't need to go to seminary to make someone lunch and invite them over to your house.
You know what, I might have to get more education on culinary
well,
stuff.
You need to know how to cook, yeah. But I think people, and this might be a word to pastors and elders out there, but I think people want to go to a church where they are not only being fed, but they're also exercising their Christian muscles through service.
You know, Dr. Tony Evans, his church, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, they have a list of something like 175 different ministries.
Wow.
And when someone joins the church, they say, okay, what ministry are you going to be a part of? And they show them this list. I think they even have one list for, like, judges, because they have some kind of people's court where if there's some kind of conflict between people
really?
And the church, they'll come to the church and meet before someone who actually is a judge or a retired judge,
wow.
And they will agree to binding arbitration.
Wow.
That's a huge church, of course.
Yeah.
But even in small churches, you can come up with 10 or 20 or 30 different ministry opportunities.
I saw one church, I think once a month, the men would come and change oil
right.
for people's cars.
That's a ministry.
Free. If you're a single mom or you're a poorer person and you can't afford the $70 or whatever it is to change your oil, that is a big help.
Or air up tires rotate tires
yeah.
or whatever.
Small mechanical stuff.
Right.
You know, very helpful. So there's so many ways Christians can help each other. And when you do that, you have a more dynamic church. You're exercising your gifts. You're learning what it means to love your neighbor and therefore serve Christ, and you're growing. And so when people don't have that, when they feel like they're just a spectator, I could kind of see how it'd be easy to just drop out, because they'd say, hey, I can just listen to something online, or I don't need to be around people. I can just listen and that's it. Well, anyways, look for that One Another book. I should have it out by the summer. And thanks for the question. If you have one for us, radio@faithalone.org, but be sure to check out that search function at our website at faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about our experience in the third heaven. So join us for that interesting discussion. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.